Blog Talk Radio.
Replay if you get in late, but I am excited for this new season and where God is going to take us and the things that he's going to reveal to us. And I'm going to continue to be transparent in my delivery and transparent in my own Christian walk as I struggle to be more like Christ. I'm going to be sharing those journeys with you as I always have. I am going into season, I am going into year 7. And when you think about seasons, there's 4 seasons generally. There's 4 seasons in a year. So if you think about 4 seasons at 7 years, I'm literally getting ready to go into this year, the end of this year, I'll be going into my 28th season of processing the pain. I'm not sure how movies do seasons and episodes and all that, but if I think of it on a quarterly basis, which is 4 quarters in a year, I am, this year would be my 7th year of doing processing the pain. And they say 7 is a great number. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do in these seasons to come. I'm excited to see. So I'm going to let me do some housekeeping real quick. I want to remind everybody that the book is complete. It has gone through the prepping and editing and photocopying and proofs. And, oh, my gosh, it's been a journey, and I can't wait to be able to share that journey as well. And I will be sharing that through a Zoom book launch, and I will keep you all posted on that date and time. That's going to be coming up soon, and I'll make sure that I send out my email blast and that I post it on social media when that Zoom will take place, because you'll get a chance to hear a little bit more about what it took, the struggles, the victories that it took in processing and publishing and writing that book. And I'm pretty excited. I really am. When I think about all that the Lord has done, and I think about all his blessings, and the enemy will come to weigh us down. He will come to kill, steal, and destroy. And you know, and sometimes we go through things, that's just life. You know, sometimes we as humans, we go through things, our minds begin to wander. Sometimes we have fears, and we have frustrations, and we have doubts, and we begin to worry, you know, and that's really what the enemy's job is to keep us off track, to keep us in fear, to keep us in worry. And because worry and fear and doubt, really what that says is that we don't trust God. We don't trust that God is able, you know. And so when we get in that place, and we will, because it's a part of the human nature. You know, I was reading as I get into the show tonight, I'm probably jumping around, but the Lord had put something on my heart that he wanted me to share on tonight. And as he was taking me from place to place to get the information that he wanted me to convey, I began to read Ecclesiastes, and we're going to go there tonight, Ecclesiastes 3. And normally everybody just reads, like, I think it's like verse 1 through, maybe it's 1 through 10 or 15, where it tells us the time for this and the time for that. But I don't know if people ever go beyond that verse and read the whole Ecclesiastes 3, because in there it states about the humans, just the humans, you know, from dust we came and from dust we'll go back. We're no different than animals. From dust animals came and from dust they'll go back, and that's what it was saying, that we're no different. You know, we're going to die just like the animals die. We got breath, the same breath in us as the breath that the animals have in them. But the thing that, you know, and we don't want to say that, and it's the truth. But the thing that where the difference comes in is the soul, I believe. I believe we have a soul. Humans have a spirit, the spirit of God, you know, inside of them. And we know that even though this body is going to go back to dust, we know that our spirits are going to rise above and go to live, you know, eternal with God. And so I don't believe animals have that, you know. So even though everything else is the same, so when we act in our flesh, we are literally acting no different than animals, because animals do not have the, you know, they just do what's in their nature to do. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them to direct and navigate them. See, the spirit of the flesh don't know the things of the spirit, and the spirit don't know the things of the flesh. And so just think about animals and what their natural instincts to do. Their natural instinct is when they're hungry, they hunt. When they have a sexual need, they have something to hunt. So it's just, you know, hunt, you know, it's just the natural instinct. So I just found that amazing that we as humans have that, the flesh has those same natural instincts, but we have the ability to master our flesh because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We have the ability to navigate our flesh. We have the ability, if we're disciplined, to lay in self-gratification. If we're disciplined, we have the ability to put the flesh down. And the Word of God is constantly feeding the Spirit so that we could get all that we need, all the nourishment that we need, all the Word that we need, all the strength that we need so that we could put this flesh under. And so that we could control our flesh, and our flesh does not control us. The Word of God says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the only way we can walk in the Spirit, we can't walk in the Spirit if it's dead. So we have to feed it, and we have to make sure it's nurtured. And so that leads me into the show on tonight. So I'm going to tell the truth, shame the devil. But tonight I didn't want to do the show. I've been on sabbatical since December, and I've been contemplating going back and forth, but I just think maybe my season is over. There's no sense in me continuing to do the show. You know, it's just, you know, there's a time and place for every day, Ecclesiastes. So Coach D was going through one of these moments, you know, where I've been through a few things over this last season, and, you know, just kind of looking. I can't say that life is great, but I was just starting to think that maybe I've given all I could give. I've done all I can do. I've given all I could give. Lord, I don't have anything else to give your people. And that's the conversation I was having with God on today, because, of course, it's Thursday, and I just really felt like I didn't want to do this show, and I'm being very transparent. And so I called my mentor, and I began to share with my mentor that I think my season is over. You know, I gave it a good 7-year run, or almost 7 years run, and I done done it, and I just don't have nothing else to give in that area. I'm drained. I'm empty. I don't have anything else to give, and I just feel so disconnected, and I'm just, you know, I'm going through this, and I'm sharing this with you, because I know that it may be somebody else out there that's going through something similar. There may be somebody else that's out there that's having a moment of ugliness. And so as I was pouring out my heart to my mentor, and I was crying, and the tears was running, and I was driving, and as I hit the corner of my home, I see my grass. And it's horrible looking. It's totally brown. It's burnt out. It looks like it's dead. And this is not a new season. You know, every year this time my grass is dead. And every year this time I look at my grass like, this is horrible. So as I was turning the corner and I see my grass, and I was like, he's ministering to me, and I'm crying and pouring out my heart. And at the same time of me crying, pouring out my heart, and trying to listen to my mentor, I'm looking at this ugly grass. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit. I thought to myself, oh, God, I feel like that grass looks. I feel like that grass. I feel ugly and just dead. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say this: it's only a season. It's only a season. This too shall pass. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just began to work, praise and worship God, because I realized that this is, I've been here before. My grass been here before. And it's not dead. It's only dormant. And dormancy is the way that the grass protects itself from the elements of the weather. So this is the cold season. You know, we have cold weather, we have ice, we have freezing, we have all these things. So the grass, everybody in my neighborhood's grass is brown. Everybody in my neighborhood's grass looks dead right now. And it's normal because in another couple of weeks or another month, all of a sudden you're going to see my grass is going to be green again, and it's going to be flourishing, and it's going to look alive, and it's going to look, you know, you're going to be able to see the hope in it. And that's the same way. So we're going to talk about us in the spiritual. Remember, spiritual supersedes natural. So everything is spiritual first and natural second. Why do I bring up the natural things to you? Because I want you to be able to get a perception. See, sometimes we could talk about spiritual things, and it's not practical for us. And I believe that God has given me the ability to bring things into practicality. I believe that God has given me the ability to bring practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. I'm going to say that again. Practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. What are you saying, Coach D? I believe he allows me to take the things in the natural, and he begins to correlate so you can see. So when God is speaking to us in the spiritual, he wants us to get a picture. He wants us to be able to see what he's saying. And tonight, I want you to see what he's saying. This is not about Coach D. This is not my show. These are not my words, but this is the Holy Spirit. And God, I have to repent to God by saying, I don't have nothing else to give. I've never had anything to give you guys. I've never had anything to give you. I've only given you what God has given me. So it's not even mine to take back. It's not even mine to not give, because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And all I am is a willing vessel. And he said, okay, if you want to stop being, if you want to stop submitting yourself as a willing vessel to be used by me, fine, then stop. But this is not your stuff, because if you stop, I'm going to find somebody else to do what you won't do. I'm here to tell you tonight, whatever it is that God has told you to do, he's letting you know on tonight that if you don't want to do what he's told you to do, that's okay. He's not going to send you to hell, but you're going to be living a life that's empty. You're going to feel empty because there's a place for you. He has a place for us. He's created us to be, you know, all that he's created us to be. And so when we don't want to be what he's created us to be and do what he's created us to do, it's no worry. It's just the fact that whatever you won't do, he has somebody else that will do it. Amen? And so I had to repent to him because I was making this about me. Woo, and it ain't even about me. And so we're going to get into the season. Sometimes we get in that place, and it's okay. It's okay to take a sabbatical. It's okay to shut down. It's okay to get before the Lord. It's okay to take a time out, a moment to reset. It's okay to do that. And how do we know it's okay? Because he tells us in his word that there is a season for everything. So I'm going to let you come follow me. Let's go into Ecclesiastes. We're going to go into chapter 3. Many of you have heard this a million times. I'm going to read out of the message. I love King James. I like to read out of King James. I get a little nervous about getting into other translations because I honestly believe that as you get into different translations and the more they come into modern language, they are a little diluted. But because I believe most of us have read Ecclesiastes 3, I'm going to read it out of the message. The reason I'm going to read it out of the message is because it just makes it a little bit more plain. It makes it easy to understand. And I'm going to do something a little different because most of us, again, when we reading Ecclesiastes, I think it's 22 verses. Most of us only read verses 1 through 8, and we stop there. But I'm going to read the whole thing because I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do, and then we're going to see where the Holy Spirit is going to take us from here. Amen. Again, Ecclesiastes 3, and we're going to start with verse 1. I'm reading from the message, so if it sounds a little different, if you're in King James or NIV, just try to bear with me. There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to heal and another, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain and another to part, a right time to search and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on and another to let go, a right time to reap out and another to mend, to rip out and another to mend, a right time to shut up and another to speak up, a right time to love and another to hate, a right time to wage war and another to make peace. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time. But he's left us in the dark so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be. Always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That soul will quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear, reverence. Whatever was, is, whatever will be, that's how it always is with God. I took another good look at what's going on. The very place of judgment, corrupt. The place of righteousness, corrupt. I said to myself, God will judge righteous and wicked. There's a right time for everything, every deed, and there's no getting around it. I said to myself regarding the human race, God's testing a lot of us, showing us up as nothing but animals. Humans and animals come to the same end. Humans die, animals die. We all breathe the same air. So there's really no advantage in being human. None. Everything's smoke. We all end up in the same place. We all came from dust. We all end up as dust. Nobody knows for sure that the human spirit rises to heaven or that the animal spirit sinks into the earth. So I made up my mind that there's nothing better for us men and women than to have a good time in whatever we do. That's our lot. Who knows if there's anything else to life? I found that interesting. I never read all of Ecclesiastes. I only read the time. And I thought that was very interesting because when you read that, if you're not careful, it doesn't speak to what we necessarily embrace. Amen. But I thought it was interesting. I wanted to read it because I wanted to share it with you all. Because probably many of you are like me that you don't read the whole thing. You only read that there's a time. And God is telling us in this that there's a time for everything. And so why that ties into what we're going to be talking about tonight is because we're going to get back to talking about when I was feeling this season of feeling just ugly and how I looked at the grass and God put me in this direction. And so I said, well, let me just learn a little bit more. Let me understand. Because if I could understand the difference between dormancy or in death, I want to understand, you know, what's the difference? How do I know, Lord, when I am just dormant and just in a season, and how do I know when I'm spiritually dead? And so many of us probably have asked ourselves this, and if you haven't, you need to, because we do. We go through seasons. We go through seasons of dormancy. It's normal, just like the grass. And so one of the ways that you tell, let's just talk about grass, how we can tell that grass is dormant, one of the things, it gets brown. It changes color, it gets brown. Or is it a brown because it's dormant, or is it brown because it's dead? One of the ways to determine that the grass is dead is by grasping onto it and pulling it. And when you grasp onto this grass and you pull it and it just easily comes up from the root, it's dead. It's dead. But if you pull on it and it has a tug and it's not coming up from the root, that's how you know it's just dormant. Why is that important for us to know? Because when we are going through this dormancy, how we know that we're just dormant and we're not dead? Because no matter what shapes us, no matter what life brings us during this season, we always seem to come back to what we know. We always seem to come back to God. We always seem to, you know, if somebody's going through something, they always seem to be able to pull something up from the inside. You know, we always be able to look up to God and say, Lord, help me. Jesus, what's going on? See, that's the dormancy. Because when you're dead, that's not the thing. That's not your first instinct to do. When you're dead spiritually, you know you're dead, because it's not just a feeling of separation. It's not just a feeling of ugliness, because we all feel like that. Perfect example, the grass. My grass is brown. It's brown. Guess what? Dormant grass and dead grass look just alike. Dormant grass and dead grass look just alike. There's no difference. They both are brown. They both look lifeless. But the difference is one is just sleep. It's dead. And so we need to find out when we're dead. You know you're dead because one, you don't. The last thing you want to do is be calling out to God. The last thing you want to do is go back to the Word of God. The last thing you want to do really is be around people of God. And dead means you dead. You don't want to have, you renounce. In most cases, you renounce your belief. And there are people out there that renounce their belief. They no longer believe in Jesus Christ. You know, you see it. We see it. We hear it on a regular basis. We hear these different belief systems all of a sudden that's springing up. They're springing up all over the place, you know. You got the new this, and, you know, we're this, and we're the chosen this, and this is this. And you got all these belief systems that's springing up in these last days. And the Word of God says, even in Mark, I think it's Mark 24, he says that even the elite, even us believers, if we're not careful, we will be deceived. Because these are the things that's going on. And that's how you know, that's what you see dead things. Because when you're dormant, you may just be, it's just a season. And you know it's a season because you begin to come alive when you hear the word. That, you know, if you were feeling, I was feeling ugly. I was feeling dead. I thought, you know, I'm dead. I don't have nothing else. But then as I began to get ministered to, my spirit began to come alive. It was being watered. And if you water dormant grass and you begin to feed it and water it, that's another way you know if it's dead or not. Because if you begin to feed and water dormant grass, what happens? It begins to take its color again. It begins to come alive. But if you feed and water dead grass, what happens? You got it. It's still dead. It's still brown. It's still dead. It ain't coming back to life. And that's how we know. When we begin, when you're in one of those seasons and you in a season where you just don't know where you're going, you know, when you just don't feel like you're connected, when you start to question your belief system, when you start to wondering if God has forsaken you, if God has left you, what's going on? Things are not working exactly how I thought or how I thought they were planned to be. You know, a lot of us have made life decisions and things are not working according to plan. Some of us have taken losses in this season, you know. And so we may start questioning, but I'm going to tell you, get into the Word. Begin to feed your spirit. Begin to water with the Word, and you will know why, because your spirit will start coming back to life. You'll begin to, your praise begins again. You could praise again. You could begin to worship God again. You can see God's goodness even in the season. You could be grateful for the things that you know that he's doing in your life in spite of all the other stuff that's going on. And when you know that you're alive in Christ, and you know that it's just a season, and like it is in the natural that we have seasons in the spiritual. If you've been following my show, you know about that. This, you know, a dormant season. I'm in a season of winterness. It's winter, and winter is a dormant season. It's the time when trees become bare, things begin to shed, things look ugly, grass turns brown, the leaves turn, you know, fall off the tree. Most of everything, grass, plants, and flowers, they just look like they die off, you know. But it's really a preparation time. Winter is a preparation time because you're still rooted. Just because it's winter, just because, you know, things look dead, they're not dead. The grass is brown, but it's still rooted. It's only sleeping. And so this is the time you begin to prepare yourself, because right after winter is spring, and we know what spring is, right? And so, you know, spring, things come alive. You can see the colors, the vibrance. You can hear the animal, you know, the birds begin to chirp, the animals are moving. Everything begins to come alive, you know, in spring. And so, but they had to prepare. They, you know, every season is a prepare. There's even a preparation we have to go through when it's abundant. Because many of people, when it's abundance, if you're not properly preparing in abundance, guess what? When that season is over, you could go into the next season ill-prepared. You won't have what you need to get you through the next season. And when we come out of fall and we go into winter, if we're not prepared, you know, harvest time. Harvest is what? Fall is for harvesting. You're gathering, you're prepping, you're preparing, you're getting everything you need because you know you're fixing to go into a season of dormant. You're going to be dormant. And, you know, just as a bear, you know, the bears hibernate in the wintertime. But you know what? They're spending their time collecting. They're spending their time getting their food for the winter because they know that we better get everything we need because it's got to carry us through. Likewise, in the spiritual, you better get everything you need in harvest time and, you know, during the fall season so that you could go into the winter season prepared. Winter season for you may not be a season of ministry. It may not be a season of ministry. That may be the season you need to rest. That may be the season you need to reset. That may be the season that you need to be still before God. That may not be the season that you need a platform. That may not be the season that you're out feeding the homeless or that you're out ministering to the broken heart. That may not be the season for you. You got to understand what your seasons are. You got to understand what God is calling you to. Because everybody functions different in different seasons. Just even like animals, not every animal hibernates in the winter. So you got to make sure what you're supposed to do, what your dead season. For me, I know the winter season, even spiritually, the winter season for me is just a season of shutdown, and it trips me up every time. I'm being honest, and so. Thank God for this message on tonight because many of us get tripped up. I get tripped up every time when the winter season comes because I don't like how it feels. I don't like feeling the dormancy. I don't like feeling asleep. I like the liveliness. I like to be in constant presence of God. He's teaching it because sometimes he needs us to just be still. You know, he said, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes some of us don't know how to be still. We busybodies. We Martha. We got to be moving. We got to be doing. We want to do something. You know, and when we're not able to do those things, we feel abandoned. We feel rejected. We feel like we're not doing. And we become hard on ourselves. And sometimes he's just saying, be still. Be still, and you can't let other people bring you out of the season that God has you in. You got to be in that season because God has placed you in that season. You got to know that that's where God would have you to be. And you got to make sure you're in the season, because we also taught that when you're out of season, that could bring undue suffering and pain when we're out of season. And some of us know about being out of season. How many of you guys been at a job and you went to the job, and when you first got out at the job, it was, you know, you was just thanking God it was a blessing that he got you this job, and you're going to the job, and some of you thought that was supposed to be for a lifetime. And the next thing you know, things at the work is not working right. You're falling out with people. Work is not going great. You got this thing going on. You got conflict here. You got conflict there. And now you're thinking, what happened? You know, God, you blessed me with this job. Now I hate it. Now what you may need to be finding out is, how long did God tell you that you're supposed to be there forever? Maybe it's just for a season that you're supposed to be there. Maybe it's just for a season that you're supposed to be where you are. And that's what you need to know. How do you know you're out of season? Because normally it becomes chaotic. Some of us have had roommates. It was supposed to only be for 3 months. It turns into 3 years. That wasn't the season. That wasn't God's plan. The plan was that you were supposed to only be in this situation for 3 months, and you extended it. You're out of season. Don't you know that most friendships and most relationships fall out when they're out of season? When you went beyond where God said you needed to be? Some of us are in relationships that are not working. They're just, it's a struggle. And I'm not saying, you need to find out from God. Maybe that relationship is just for a season. Maybe relationships. Sometimes God gives us assignments and we turn them into attachments. And we got to be careful that we don't do that, because then we're out of season. So we got to know what our season is. We got to know, is this the time? Is this the place? Lord, is this where you'll have me to be? When I get there, Lord, how long? He may not tell you exactly from the beginning how long you need to be there. You may go in there thinking, okay, this is just, I'm going to be here forever. But he'll start telling you. And then what happens is that if we're not paying attention to what God tells us, what does that look like, Coach D? That looks like, oh, Lord, I can't. I know you ain't asking me to leave here. I got bills to pay. I need to get a little bit more money, because I got to do this. Lord, I ain't got nowhere else to go. Where am I going to go? And we start finding ourselves coming up with these excuses and coming up with, you know, why we can't do what God's told us to do. God said, move now. And we'd be like, okay, Lord, you know, give me another year and a half. Okay, Lord, give me, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. Give me a minute. You know how your mama used to say, you know, go in there and get this. And you say, okay, give me a minute. She said, don't ask. I told you to go now. And God is telling some of us to go now. And when I say go now, that don't necessarily mean that you got to move out of state. That don't necessarily mean that you just got to get up and quit your job. But he's telling you to go now. What is your go now? What is the thing that God is telling you to do? And you tell him, okay, Lord, I will. Give me a little bit more time. But see, by the time you get ready to do it, now you get ready to, oh, Jesus, now you get ready to do it. But guess what? You're out of season. Because he told you to do it in spring. He told you to do it in spring. Now you're trying to do it in the winter. And now you're wondering why it ain't working. It ain't working. Why? Because you're out of season. And you got to get back in season. I've been saying for years, you've been following me, I've been saying for years, this show, Processing the Pain, is going on its 7th year. Mind you, I had started writing the book way before this show. And I stopped writing the book when I started doing the show, because I thought God was telling me I didn't have to write the book no more since I'm doing the show. That's the truth of the matter. And so when I started doing the show, I stopped writing the book. I put the book on hold. And after a couple of years of me doing the show and putting the book on hold, God said to me, I'm not telling you to start writing that book. You in disobedience. Yeah, you're doing great things in the show. I'm allowing great things to happen in the show. And, you know, I'm built, you know, God, I'm causing increase in the show. You're doing good things. But I didn't tell you to stop writing the book. So even though you were obedient over here, you disobedient over here. And so I've been saying since this show, when God gave me that revelation that this book, every spring, every year in spring, I said, the book is going to come out in spring. Then another spring comes. The book is going to come out in spring. Then another spring comes. So I decided last year I'm going to forget spring. I'm going to do the book now. And everything I was going to, the book was supposed to produce December the 21st. It didn't. It was supposed to produce January. It didn't. I wanted to produce February. I'm hoping February. It may not. But I'm to the point now where this book is already done. It's going to happen, but it's going to happen in the right season. It's going to happen in the season that God has prepared it to happen in. And I want it to happen in God's season. Why? Because if it happens in God's season, God is going to make sure that it grows. If it happens in God's season, what God promised on the book, God is going to make sure it happens. I don't want it to happen in my time, in my season, but I need it to happen in God's season. Amen? So I'm going to trust that whatever season this book produces is going to be the right season at the right time so that it could do what God has created for it to do. Amen? So getting back to this grass, let's get to this grass because I want to find out, even in this dead grass, how do we get back healthy again? How do we come out of the dormant stage? So we've already determined, how do we determine if it's just dormant or if it's dead? We found out that no matter how much you feed dead grass, it's not gonna come back alive. Now, what I want you to have hope, because there are some people that got a dead spirit, and you know, they're feeding and it's not coming alive, but there is still hope. I want you to know it's still hope. Because just like dead grass, if we feed dead grass, it's not going to come back. It's not going to come back alive. But your lawn, see, your lawn is not your grass. So you got your lawn and it's grass on your lawn. So the good thing about dead grass is that dead grass can be removed and you can begin to replant. Amen? So you can begin to replant. And so when we are in a spirit of dormancy, we know that all we have to do is begin to feed and cultivate and nurture and water, and we'll come back to life. We'll feel our spirits come back, and we'll gain our color back, so to say. We're now green again, and we're alive again. And we know that we'll just continue to feed through these seasons. You know, we're going to come, because another dormant time is going to come. So just make sure that it's healthy. Make sure that you're healthy during this time of feeding and watering. You want to make sure that you're fertilizing. You know, you want to make sure that you're using the right fertilizer for the right season. You want to make sure that you're not overwatering. You don't want to be watering at 3 o'clock in the morning when it might be 40 degrees. You want to make sure that you're doing everything appropriately so that you don't kill the grass, right? Sometimes we kill the grass ourselves through either neglect or, you know, overwatering, allowing certain animals, you know, if you got pets, allow them on the grass. Just, you know, if you live in the winter type places that get icy, you know, you may have killed your grass by sprinkling salt on the cement. I mean, just so many things you could do to damage. So when you, like I said again, make sure it's healthy, because healthy grass, when it goes into, you know, into being dormant, it has enough. It has enough nutrients to stay alive. It has enough nutrients down in the roots. The roots are healthy, and they have enough to stay alive. So it could take the abuse of winter and still make it through because it was taken care of before. If you have grass that wasn't well taken care of before, the wind is going to kill it. It's going to kill it. So you want to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. What is that? Prayer life is important. Prayer life is very important. The prayer life is the key to your healthy root. It's the key to your healthy root. A prayer life, reading the word, meditating on the word. Those are things that's key to healthy roots. Because if I know the word of God, and I have enough of the word of God in me. Guess what? When that winter season comes and I go into and I become dormant, then I'm gonna be able to have something to pull on. I still got something, some nourishment. But if I don't, I'm gonna die. Believe it or not, a lot of Christians die during COVID. And I'm not talking a physical death, but a lot of believers died during COVID. Why? Because their roots weren't healthy. Their roots were only based on the church doors being open. So as long as they could get into church and hear their pastors preach or hear their pastors teach, then they were okay. But as soon as everything shut down and they couldn't get in there to get fed because they didn't know how to feed themselves, now they die. And the result of that death is what we see. The despair, the fear, the trembling. What's going on? Now it ain't no longer God that we're depending on, but it's whether or not it's the Republicans or the Democrats in the office. We're concerned about that. We're worried about that. We're worried about COVID. You know, we see people dying. We're scared about that. What happened? You know, it's so many things. And I honestly believe that fear, a great part of that fear is because a lot of people's root was the church. And when the church doors closed, their root became, you know, the parable, the word of God speaks about a parable of seeds thrown on different ground. You know, and it talks about the seed that when life comes, it chokes them out because it's not grounded and rooted. And that's dead. That's dead because that's the conclusion we came to about the dead grass. Is if you could take the grass and pull it and it comes out easy from the roots, it's dead. If the word of God is seed and it's been thrown on ground that's rocky, then as soon as the wind comes, as soon as the winter comes, as soon as anything comes, guess what it's going to do? It's going to die. It's going to blow away because it's not rooted. And we got to make sure we're rooted for any season, particularly winter. We got to make sure that we're rooted and grounded so that we know that when the trials of life, when the things of life start coming, like the COVID and uncertainty in the government and the nation and this and that, and we've got so much stuff coming up against us, and the enemy is blatant with his attacks. He's blatant in the earth. He's blatant with deception and deceit. He wants us to believe anything and everything, and it's out there, and it's going, and it's confusing, and it's overwhelming. But, honey, when you know the word of God, when you know the word of God, then you compare the word with what's going on. Lord, what do you say about this? Lord, what do I need to know about this? And that's all you could do is stay connected to the vine. Stay connected. Stay grounded. Stay rooted so that you know. So that you know. Ask the Lord through prayer. Father God, you know, give me a spirit of discernment. Help me to realize, Father God, when it's not you. Because it's hard these days to tell when it is and when it isn't. And so your prayer really in these days is important for us to ask the Lord to keep us. Don't run around here thinking you know it all. Because even the ones that think they know it all could be deceived. Right now is a prayer of humble. You know, it's a prayer of humbling ourselves. It's a prayer of asking God to show us, to direct us, to lead us, to make it visible to us with spiritual eyes. Give us spiritual eyes to see what he needs us to see in this time. That's going to be important because there's so much going on. It's so much that causes us to stray away. And so we want to stay connected. We want to make sure that we have healthy roots. We want to make sure that it's okay to be dormant at times. That's okay. Dormant doesn't mean death, but we don't want to die. We don't want to die in the winter months. We don't want to die when adverse weather comes about. And that adverse adverse weather for us is the cares of this world. And we don't want to die. We want to live. We want to stay alive. We want to be able to go into the next season and the next season. And in each season, we want to be able to take something out of it. Believe it or not, even in the winter, there's something to take out of it. When I come out, coming out the winter, and the winter is almost over, I got a new revelation. I'm going to come out this winter resting. If nothing else, I'm going to be resting and ready to roll up my sleeves for the next season. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do in this next season? I'm ready. This was a season I should have just rested and reset and be still and trust God. Amen? And trust God. That's the key there, trusting God. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly you are worthy, Father God. We just say thank you, Abba, Father. Father God, we thank you that we are only dormant, but we are not dead. We thank you, Father God, that we are preparing for the next season, Father God, that we will go in with our sleeves rolled up and we are ready to do the work, Father God. Father God, for the word of God tells us that the harvest lies. So, Father God, prepare us to be the laborers that you need for us to be, Father God, for your glory. Father God, we thank you. I thank you for the word that you have given us. I thank you, Father God, that we are in a season of pursuing purpose. Father God, that we will continue to process through the pain. But, Father God, now our focus is no longer on just all the pains of this life. Father God, you've given us the tools and the resources to know how to process through the pain. So, Father God, now help us to pursue purpose. Father God, now help us to turn our affections and attention towards you. Father God, give us the tools and resources that we need, Father God, so that we will be healthy at the roots, Father. Lord, that we will continue to just look towards you, Father God. Lord, that we would know what you would have us to do, Father God, that we would just trust you completely. So, Father, right now we are going into a season of pursuing purpose. This is the time that, Father God, you're going to use to set aside that we'll thirst and that we'll hunger for you and the things of God. So we just say thank you, Father God, for this upcoming season, Lord, because we are ready, Father God, to get to the season, Father, of promises. We are ready to get to the season of promises, the promises of God. We are ready to partake in. So, Father, we just thank you. I thank you for each and every person listening in on tonight. Father God, I pray that you would bless them exceedingly abundantly above, Father. Father God, I pray that you would meet all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, for those who are sick, Father, I pray that you will heal their bodies by the blood of Jesus, Father. We speak to every cell, every atom, every neutron, proton, and electron, and we command them right now to line up according to your purpose, Father God. Father God, we rebuke and bind the spirit of sickness, death, and disease. We pray for those, Father, struggling with COVID-19. Father God, there's no name above the name of Jesus. Father God, we know that you didn't come to kill, steal, and destroy nothing, but the enemy has. So, Father God, we serve notice right now in the name of Jesus, and we rebuke the devourer, Father God. So we pray for those who are laying up, Father God. Lord, that you will heal them so that you get the glory, Father God. Father God, your word has told us that not all sickness is unto death, but for your glory. And Father God, we just want to see your glory, Father, because just like the enemy is killing, stealing, and destroying, Father God, you are still on the throne, and you are still blessing, and you are still healing, Father God, and you are still needy needs, Father God. So we just say thank you, Lord, that we're going to look towards you, Father God, which cometh our help. We're going to look towards you. We're not going to continuously look at what the enemy is doing. We know that this world is falling, Father God, but we're going to keep our hearts and our minds staying on you, Father God, and what you are doing in this season, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. Thank you. We are in a new season. If you missed the memo, we start now at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern time. We made some adjustments just to bring things a little earlier. We were actually at 10 p.m. in Eastern time, so we just want things to be a little bit earlier. And so we got to adjust for you OGs. We just have to adjust a little bit to the new times. But glory to God. I'm glad that we are, you know, that we are in this new season. I'm excited. I will keep you all posted as things roll out, and we got new things coming up. I want you all to be a part of the Zoom book launch. I'll let you know the date and time of that so that you will be able to get a chance to listen in and hear the exciting things about the book and what it took to get us to where we are today. Glory to God. So I will keep you all posted. The book is done. It is done. Now it's just a matter of marketing and making sure that that it rolls out in God's time. So I will keep you posted on that as well. We will be back here next Thursday, again, at 6, 8, and 9. 6, 8, and 9. And I hope you all will join us. Know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated. Have a good night.